I'll pray for you. Lord, I just pray and lift up Todd to you, Lord, and I just pray, Lord, that Holy Spirit that I spoke about earlier, Lord, would just come upon him, Lord, that he would speak your word, Lord, fill him, Lord, for the word that you've given him for today. I do speak peace into him, Lord, and I thank you for his willingness to step up and to serve you in this capacity while Pastor Bill is gone. So, Lord, just be with him. Lord, prepare hearts and minds to receive the word that you've given him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Like Lee said, I'm Todd Clare. I'm an elder, and my wife Erica, she teaches sometimes here. I have a son he had his prom last night, so he's going to be here for the car wash. At the very least. And so you can see the title today. Sleep was challenging last night with regard to that. And my daughter, Brooke, is finished her second year of college. So please stay with me. Sleep, stay awake. Seems like it's, sort of contradicts each other there. And pray and love. So there's a lot of things, and I'll be jumping around a little bit. But really, at the end of the day, this is all about believing the truth of the Bible and being able to pray and love one another. So hopefully you'll hear the word of God. So really, how did I get up here? The first thing would be that I am an elder. So I was, Bill asked if you could get here. And so how did I become an elder? Because an elder is, my grandfather was an elder. That's an elder, you know. Me an elder? We'll see how it goes, but that's my definition. It was certainly my grandfather, Presbyterian Church, growing up. So I had a stable, a real foundation in God. But as far as prayer in the Bible, I'm going to tell you, it wasn't happening much. Certainly as a kid, we were on, praying the typical prayer at bedtime. But, as I was growing up, those two things weren't necessarily at the forefront where I was headed. So why am I here? Why am I talking about these things? So the first thing as far as coming to elder was really started, like I said, I wasn't praying too much. I wasn't reading the Bible. My wife and I moved to Dallas. We got with a church, and they have the Bible study. And I'm like, okay, look, everybody's doing it, right? It's in the Bible Belt. We better conform to what's going on there. So I joined a Bible study. And I go in and they're praying for people and I'm like, wait a second. Maybe they don't know I'm here because they're talking about very personal things. And I'm like, oh my goodness, am I supposed to be here? Should I be hearing these things? But anyhow, from that Bible study, that was my growth. I'm going on a journey with God, hopefully a relationship with Jesus Christ. And from that Bible study and other Bible studies and just the word and prayer, I became an elder, lo and behold. So what about this? Why are we talking about sleep, stay awake, pray, love? There were two things from Bible studies. My brother Dave Crimmins, a fellow elder, we were having a small Bible study, just three of us. It started out that we were going to, talk about love. There was this book called Crazy Love. And I'll probably come back to that in a moment, but, if we can do the slide, next slide. We gave up on crazy love right away. It was two chapters. We were done with it. I couldn't relate. It was love God so much and love everybody and passages. And I'm like, this is not working. So either Dave or the other person had an idea. Let's do Pilgrim's Progress. And I'm like, okay. I mean, I've heard of it. Let's do it, right? Shakespeare or something like that or, whatever it is. It is not by Ken Pauls. Ken Pauls made some notes. I think maybe this is part of what he drew here. It's really from John Bunyan. So Pilgrim's Progress, I think I can relate. We're all on a journey. And I've progressed, and I'm still trying to get there. But basically, the main person, this guy who's sleeping right now, Christian, he's on a journey. He wants to become, he needs to go, and he wants to more or less be with the Savior. He wants to go to heaven. He wants to, get the winning ticket. He's had a dream and he needs to get there. And there's this journey that he's going on. He's meeting people and it's good and bad and dark and paths. Which path do we take, the good or the bad one? And here he falls asleep. So, that's a big mistake for him. So we, as far as the, studying the Bible. Like we said, we were following Pilgrim's Progress. It's a Christian journey to salvation. And basically, we're supposed to stay awake. We're not supposed to fall asleep, right? Bill was up here. Pastor Bill taught a number of sessions on guard, you know, stay awake and everything like that, because he's on a journey and he's running into, you know, the dark forces that are trying to trip him up, and other people are trying to trip him up. But then there's also angels and helpers and friends and brothers along the way too. If you see his, you know, there's something on the ground right there. That's his role. And he was given the role by, I'm going to say, the good spirit, so to speak. And that's his ticket. That's really his ticket. He has to have that, or he's not getting into heaven. He's not making his full progress to his desired salvation. And so this is one of the things that, why am I talking about this? This is one of them. So Pilgrim's Progress, this guy fell asleep, and eventually him and his companion get whipped. And they get whipped by a good spirit, almost an angel. And you're like, and that really is like, what is going on here? That doesn't really sound right to me. So it always stuck in my mind. And for a couple of years, it's been a number of years, and we're going to talk about it here. The other thing is I was asked to read a passage on a Good Friday from Pastor Bill. And it was about Jesus in the garden and everything. And it just related to me. So I'm sort of trying to put all these things together. But let's go to the next slide with, so how many steps have I took in vain? It's hard to read. It's a tough read. Thus it happened to Israel for their sin. They were sent back again by the way of the Red Sea. And I am made to tread those steps with sorrow, which I might have trod with delight, had it not been for this sinful sleep. How far might I have been on my way by this time? I am made to tread those steps thrice over, which I needed not to have trod but once. Yea, now also I am like to be denighted, for the day is almost spent. Oh, that I had not slept. So he's really feeling bad. And like I said, a couple of chapters, and he actually gets caught in a web, caught in a net by the evil people or the bad people, and an angel comes along, lets them loose, gets them on their way again, but they actually get whipped by this angel. And I'll come back to it, because our sleep sometimes whips us. I mean, I have anxiety, and that whips you into wanting to go to sleep and stay asleep and not be awake. And if we're not awake, then how can we pray? How can we love? And how can we make it on our journey? So it's real for me. If you go to the next. So I have I had a Fitbit, or I still do. I don't wear it right now. So I tried it. Some brothers were playing tennis, and it didn't really register as much. Maybe I wasn't running around like Dave was, and then I tried it in swimming, and it wasn't registering there either. So I'm like, what am I going to get out of this? This must have been an early edition. I said, let me try it. It has this sleep mode. Let's try it, see what happens. And that's probably better than I was. Seemed like I was waking up a lot. All right. If you can see here, the reds are like you're awake, and the low blues means you're fast asleep. So I was a lot like this. It was a surprise. And obviously I'm tossing and turning. I'm a light sleeper anyhow, but there's a lot weighing on my mind. You know, whether it was work, family, just very, you know, all kinds of pressures. And you're like, well, how could that be happening to an elder? Right. Todd, you're supposed to be praying for peace and have faith. And yet, you know, I'm just like a regular guy. It just happens. And it really related to the passage that I read on that one Good Friday service. If you go to the next one, this is Jesus. He was praying in the garden, and you can see he's pretty well, his hair is like soaked, and that's me. It can happen that I am completely drenched, you know, anticipating the next morning's work, or the day for the school for the kids, or whatever it may be, literally drenched. And, you know, we'll get to the passage in a second, but I couldn't really relate. Jesus was dripping in blood as he was praying. And I'm like, that's a little bit far-fetched for me, right? Is blood really dripping from him? And I believe it. I believe it, because the way that I have been sweating or perspiring in bed, soaked, I could feel my pores open up, and literally the perspiration comes out. And I'm only worried about an inspection for a construction job, Jesus was going to die on the cross and bear all our sins. So of course he could have blood, you know, coming out of him for sure. But this is the stay awake part. Here he is. He has his disciples. Let's go to the next slide. We'll read the passages from Mark. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John. These are his guys, right? Along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little farther, he fell to the ground and prayed that if it was possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not I will, but what you will." So Jesus was in distress. He asked his best buddies, he's been companions, "Just stand guard and pray for me, please," right? They had to see him. They had to see him in distress, right? I mean, I am fortunate. I have three friends from college. They would be here, and as soon as I pick up the phone call, they'd be here. Whatever it was, no questions asked. I have two others from where I grew up. So it's a blessing to have people like that, a scoutmaster and another person. Friend from scouting in my high school. And so you're like looking at this, how could these disciples fall asleep? Shame on, I mean, how could they do it? And yet, you know, I do it all the time. I'm just like them. If we go to the next passage there too. Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, "Are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray, so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more he went away and prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come." So, you know, it's remarkable that they just couldn't stay asleep or stay awake. They fell asleep. I do it. I know I want to go pray before I go to bed. And the anxiety takes over me, or I'm just wiped out, or I'm whipped, right? The anxiety, some people have depression. So I couldn't relate how Christian in Pilgrim's Progress was whipped. Well, I'm whipped. I'm whipped out of energy, and I'm sure some people are too. And it's in the anxiety or just day-to-day activities. And, you know, I'm just like the disciples here. If you can go to the next. So this is from Luke 22. Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." You know, so I'm sitting, I'm in bed, I'm sweating, I don't want to deal with the day ahead of me, but yet it's paralyzing me. An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. And that's how I fell in the morning sometimes. So I believe the Bible. This is true. I totally believe it because it's happened to me. It's happening. When he rose from prayer and went back to the disciples, he found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." So that's the, you know, there's the theme, you know, one, we should be able to be asleep, you know, the Fitbit, it should be a nice and deep sleep if we, you know, supposedly if we have faith and we pray and we have peace in God, because we have the promise, like Christians looking for, he's looking for heaven and be saved. We have that promise from Jesus in the Bible. So why can't we sleep? And then on the other hand, why can't we stay awake? Why can't I pray for my wife Erica's cousin? Cousin Mike. Cousin Mike is a New York City police officer. Unfortunately, he didn't stay awake and he had troubles and he couldn't find the answers. He fell into temptation and he tried to take his life. He drank some antifreeze one night, and by the grace of God, somebody got him to a hospital a number of hours later. He was in coma. He wasn't coming out of his, you know, kidneys were shot, possible brain swelling and damage. He was basically gone. We went there and nothing changed for 2 months. And, you know, I prayed, but did I pray every day for him? Did I pray every night for my cousin Mike? You know, I didn't. I fell asleep like the disciples did. Same thing with my friend, you know, or other friends or people here. You know, do I pray for him every day? You know, we have D-Days coming up in a couple days. I don't know what people did during the World War. Did they pray every day? I got to imagine so, or they tried to. Luckily I've never been, other people have gone before, you know, whether it's in a foxhole or God is my co-pilot, you know, people are praying because they need that, you know, they need the good spirit with them to keep going. Just trying to stay awake is challenging the disciples, but I guess I'm just like a disciple. I struggle with anxiety. You know, Jesus was able to stay in the boat, right? There's a huge storm and he's just napping, right? Because he has the faith and the goodness of the Father and he has peace. And I struggle with that. I fall asleep because, I'm just like the disciples, you know, and I'm like Christian, I'm on a journey to try to get to the place of peace and faith. And how do we do that? You know, we're going to be in a Bible study. We're going to have people like Dave being a brother. We're going to be praying for people and loving people. And then we'll bring that peace to us. But it's a spiritual battle. And then it's really if as far as staying awake and praying, it's about love. So we did talk about the book Crazy Love, and we couldn't relate. And it was hard for me to relate also to God being, you know, how do you love God? You know, well, you love God because from one of the passages, he's your father. He's your daddy. It's Abba Father. And that took me a while to understand that because we all have a father at one time or another. Maybe we have really great fathers. Right? Even my father, whose dad was the elder, the grandfather that I was talking about, you know, this guy was, in my dad's eyes, he was perfect. And unfortunately for my dad, that's who he relied in, his earthly father, instead of his heavenly father. And he fell into temptation like our friend Christian, because when his earthly father passed away, then what did he have? He didn't have the Abba Father to turn to. And life was a mess after that for him. But we come back. And as far as love, I learned from C.S. Lewis in reading Mere Christianity. It's another Bible study. So there's the theme of the Bible studies. But basically, it's like, look at people's hearts. I mean, I can see we all look different. And if I can see your heart, then I can love you and I can pray for you. Another aspect that I couldn't grasp with love is we pray for countries. Dave Primus is going to pray for a country today. But I learned to pray for people that I don't know from other countries. I enjoy reading books from Nelson DeMille. Nelson DeMille, most of his books are somewhat about, you know, war, conflict, Vietnam, Long Island, New York folks. This was the case of a Vietnam veteran going back to present-day Vietnam, and, you know, reliving the horrors, but it showed how horrible it was for the Vietnamese, whether you were North or South. I mean, apparently, during all this bombing and wars, they hid underground for years. So they were in the dark, underground for years and years and years, and of course they suffered. And just from reading that book, trying to understand love and prayer, I am able to pray for the Vietnamese folks and other folks, whether it's Syria, you know, Manchester, anything like that. Why? Because somewhere, somehow, my heart said I can love those people even if I don't know them or know their name, because they're suffering and they're God's children. And, you know, we can hopefully pray for them and relate to them in some manner. So how do we stay awake? It really is about prayer. It's about trying to, you know, be on the journey like Christian, join a Bible study. Frank Casella and I, we helped a sister move one night. This is the middle of the week. You know, we both had work the next day, but it was strenuous work, a lot of work. It was hours. I got home like 1:30. I said a little prayer. I don't know how I'm going to get up the next day, right? I'm already anxious about work anyhow. Now I have no sleep and I'm wiped out. And I'll tell you the truth. I woke up with more energy that day after than I'm going to say on a typical day. So there's a little prayer that just God can energize you if you have the Holy Spirit within you. So there's a good message here as far as prayer. Just this past week at work, somebody wrote a stray email and copied a client's name. You know, instead of forwarding, they replied all, and they had a not so great thing to say about that client. So the client got it, and it was like, oh boy, you know, this guy is off the account. Number one, we might lose the whole thing. And this is one of our big accounts. And typically I'm going to say something like that, maybe I don't pray for. And I said, let's pray. Let's pray for my colleague, my company, and the guy that it happened to. And I did. And nobody expected that this client was going to be gracious when the guy apologized. And he did. He apologized. And the client said, it happens. You know, because the client replied back, your guys are done. After he got it, he said, you guys are done. And then my colleague apologized, and this guy wrote the gracious email back, and I'm not saying everything's perfect, but I'm going to chalk it up to prayer, because nobody expected who this person was to do this at all. As far as my cousin Mike, he's in Burke Rehab. He is out of his coma. He doesn't need dialysis. His kidneys are 100% restored. He's had some challenges, but this is a miracle. You know, from drinking antifreeze and being on your deathbed and being in a coma for 2 months or so to where he is now, it's a miracle, and prayer works, folks. And we know we're all on a journey, and his journey, unfortunately, ended up in depression, and he didn't know where to go. But, you know, the Lord said, I need to use you, Cousin Mike, and I'm going to restore you, and you're going to be an example to others. So we're blessed in having Cousin Mike back in our lives. So how do we go about this spiritual? It's a spiritual awareness. Sometimes we lose our spiritual edge and focus. There's distractions around us. In a secular world, we can easily fall into the temptations, whether it's falling asleep by Christian or Cousin Mike or whomever, or myself, you know, having anxiety. So how can we stay awake? Because the disciples weren't listening, right? Three times they asked. This is his best bud. So how can we do it? Well, it turns out, you know, maybe the disciples weren't listening as much, you know, about the word, or, you know, basically the battle of the spiritual battle that we're fighting, and that's to be on guard. So we want to be on guard. If we are to stay awake in the midst of a world in a spiritual stupor, then we need to be diligent in prayer. And we can all go to the next slide. It's really just 1 Thessalonians, you know, pray continuously without ceasing. And that's really the theme, you know, that I've learned, even though I'm not perfect at it. You know, prayer has worked. The Bible is real. I believe Jesus shed those drops because I shed them myself. And, you know, right now I feel at peace. I just looked down here. The Warrior's Prayer is a prayer that I've said a number of times because of family members, you know, and it says, Heavenly Father, your warrior prepares for battle. Today I claim victory over Satan by putting on the whole armor of God. And that's what I pray for everybody here. So if you're not in a Bible study, I pray that you do get in a Bible study. I pray that you can find love, because prayer and love are hand in hand. And stay awake, but yet, you know, have that sleep of peace because your faith in Jesus. Because at the end of the day, like the gentleman said here, I tell you the truth, you will be in paradise with me, and this is Jesus on that day. And that's what Christian's looking for, and that's what I pray for everybody here. So thank you, and blessings to all.